This morning, Brother Kenny read with us from 1 John chapter 2. Actually, the waitresses and ladies and housekeepers read for us from 1 John chapter 2. And there were just some thoughts that I'd like to share with you tonight. But first, I just wanted to ask, has everyone received these little bookmarks that have the verse from Psalm 37 on them? If you haven't, just raise your hand. I have a few. You all have it. And the reason I give that to you, that's the verse that we've taken this year for our camp, especially for the staff, but it's for all of us. Commit your way to the Lord. Well, it begins with delight thyself in the Lord, right? Now, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And those were verses that were very precious to Uncle Hans, and as Brother Kenny mentioned, this year we're considering his life and his ministry. It's actually 50 years since he passed away in March, and we're just so thankful that the light that God placed in this fellowship by his grace continues to this day, and we want to be faithful to God and to the light that he has given us. I think I could say that not only was Uncle Hans the founder of the Ridgewood Church and the Ridgewood Fellowship churches, but he also was the founder of this camp. And I think it's here today. You are here today. Pilgrim Camp is here today because of Uncle Hans and the grace of God in him that gave him that vision and that light. And I believe he even paid for the property. Did I have that right? He paid for the property. Someone asked me, who owns Pilgrim Camp? Uncle Hans does. All right. Well, not really, but no one owns camp, and not one of our churches, and he saw fit to do it that way. He purchased it and made the Pilgrim Camp its own identity, so to speak. And so I'm encouraging you. Did everyone get one of these books? Brother Kenny gave these out this morning. I'm sorry I'm taking all this time, but I want everyone to have one, all right? And you'll enjoy this as well. Make sure you get your book in the office too, everyone's uncle. All right, I just wanted to again share with you from this chapter. It was on overcoming, and the quotation from Brother Hans, or Uncle Hans, as he was called, is this: there is an enemy to overcome. There is an enemy to overcome, but there is power that makes us more than conquerors. There is an enemy to overcome, but there is a power that makes us more than conquerors. He that is within you is mightier than he that is in the world. Now, you can tell that's a paraphrase or a quote from 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we know that, and we quote that verse. The one who's greater, the one who's in us is Jesus, right? Christ lives in me. That's what we sang. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ lives in me. And the one who lives in me is greater than the one who rules this world. Learn, and then this last part, learn to abide in him so that he can abide in you. And I thought, you know, sometimes these things that we say, they might seem somewhat contradictory, we just said that Christ lives in you, right? So then why do I have to abide in him so that he'll live in me? Now, do you understand what I mean? Well, what I'm getting at is that sometimes we equate our Christian experiences to something that happens in a moment. And there are things that happen in a moment. God comes to us and he works changes in us. He comes by his Spirit and does a work in us that no one else can do. And we have mountaintop experiences. You like coming to camp? Camp is a mountaintop experience. Amen. Thank you. I got one amen. Camp is a mountaintop experience. Many people come from all over because they meet God here. But then we go back to life. And we go back home. We go back to school, wherever we go back to. And that's where the abiding comes. That's where the work of God needs to continue, and it has to be a day by day, moment by moment work of the Holy Spirit to keep me in God. We can't live on the mountaintop experiences. We can't live on the blessings that we received 20 years ago. Not that they're not wonderful, not that they were not life-changing. But there's a work that God wants to do day by day and moment by moment. He wants us to learn to abide in the victory that He has purchased for us. And I think that's the idea of being an overcomer. That song that we sang, "Wouldst Thou Know the Secret of Constant Victory?" Not just one victory, but constant victory. How does that happen? Let in the overcomer, yes, and he will conquer thee. But I believe that's also not a one-time thing. Every day I can say, "Lord Jesus, I yield myself to you. Every day, Lord, I need you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Every day I need you to work in me your salvation." And so he takes us on, and he changes us, and he establishes us in victory. And those victories come. He changes our hearts. He makes us more like himself. And we notice that he is at work. And maybe we don't notice. And maybe that's good. But I trust that other people notice that God is working in my life and he's changing me. This thought of overcoming is, again, something that doesn't just happen. In this chapter, I think there are some keys to how to overcome. In verse 12, it says, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." And I trust we've experienced that. That we all know that our sins are forgiven for his name's sake. "I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men," here it is, "because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one." So what do we see there? What is one of the sources, as it were, of this overcoming life? Where do we? How does that come about in our lives? What is it that we need? The word of God needs to abide in you. Young man, you can be strong because the word of God can abide in you. It's not in our own strength that we're strong. We need to get into God's word. Shelley, thank you that you reminded us that you have to open the Bible if you want to be a Christian. You can't be a Christian unless you have an open Bible. And you've learned to read and to say, "God, speak to me as I read your word. God, speak to me." And if you read your Bible and God's not speaking to you, then pray and say, "God, when I open your word, I want you to speak to me." Yes. Don't let it just be something that you do and it doesn't affect you, because there's a power here in the word of God. This word is alive. It's powerful, it's quick, the Bible says. And it searches us out, goes right into our hearts. "Oh God, speak to me as I open your word." And as you come into these meetings, you have a wonderful privilege to be here at camp and to be in meetings like this where God is so present, and he wants to speak to you. And we ought to come with that attitude of heart, that expectation. "Lord, as I come tonight, as I come this morning, Lord, speak to me." And then Brother Kenny will have an easy job. Really. It really is so much easier. When people want to hear the word of God, it's so much easier. The next verses that follow are maybe a little different in the sense that we had that verse, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And that seems to say to me that there are forces without that are trying to keep me from living close to Jesus. But the one who's in me is greater than the one that's in the world. But these next verses I think they turn it around, and I'll read them, and then we'll just consider them. It says, love not the world. Now, this comes right after the verse 14 that I read. You have overcome the wicked one. That's how verse 13 ended. I'm sorry, 14. But 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, that to me is something that's very internal. Now he's talking about something that I love. Love not the world. If we love the world and the things that are in the world, we cannot be an overcomer. Because every time temptation comes, if you love the world, you will fall. So the Lord has to do something within to change my heart. I think that has to do with let in the overcomer, and he will conquer thee. I think it's safe to say that, and we've all experienced this, that the thing that we love is the thing that controls us. The thing that we love is the thing that we give our attention to, our time, our money. Someone said, you want to see what you love? Just see where you spend your money. You want to see what you love? Just see where you spend your time. And so John, in writing to these Christians, he says, yes, you are strong. The word of God abides in you. You have overcome the wicked one. You have known the one. You have known the Father. He wasn't questioning their salvation. He wasn't questioning their relationship with God. But he said, if you love the world, here's a test, then the love of the Father is not in you. And so I believe if we want to overcome and live an overcoming life, then we have to ask God to take away the love for the world. The spirit of the world, the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of everything that opposes God. A society without God is a good definition of the world. And it's all around us. Lord Jesus, help me not to set my affections on things below, on worldly things, but help me, Lord, to set my affection, my love on things above. Lord, I want that love of the Father to fill my heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And so, Lord, teach me to love thee as thine angels love, one holy passion filling all my frame, the baptism of the heaven-descended dove, my heart an altar, and thy love a flame. Lord, I want the love of the Father to consume me. A little bit further down in this chapter, he says, you have an anointing. You have an anointing. So thankful for the Holy Spirit. We've heard about the need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I think I can share this. I have others of Denise's family that are not here, Brother Kenny. And one of them is a brother named Gregory. And around Christmas time, I told Gregory, I said, Gregory, I want you to pray every day, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. And Gregory was struggling. But he took that up. And I think about 3 months later, he was in the service at our church, evening service. It was maybe just a handful of us, a dozen or so. And all of a sudden, something happened to Gregory. And God came to him that night. And he said, Phil, I tried every day to pray that prayer. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And he said, God came to me. And I know that God answered that prayer. Now, he's not perfect, and as we heard, none of us maybe are perfect. God has a work yet to do in Greg, but I was so thankful that he took that up. And I challenged our people recently as well. Pray that prayer every day. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit today. You could pray that prayer while you're here at camp, and I trust you'll pray it when you go home. Lord Jesus, fill me today with your Holy Spirit. And so I'm so thankful that there is a fresh anointing for us. A fresh anointing for each day. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Hallelujah. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Hallelujah. And just one more thought here at the end of the chapter. Some very precious verses. Verse 28 says this, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And now, little children, abide in him. Have we learned to abide? My dad was one who spoke much of the vine and used often the illustration from John 14 that Jesus used to teach his disciples. Abide in me. As the branch is to the vine, I want you to be attached. I want you to be connected to me. And that speaks to me of relationship. I think all of this chapter that we've read this morning and looked at tonight, I think it really speaks of relationship. About my relationship with God. Am I truly joined to Christ? Do I receive from him moment by moment that life that he wants to give, that overcoming life? You see, it's really himself. He wants to give you more of himself. And when we pray, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit, we're asking him to fill us more with himself. Jesus, I want you. I want more of you. And to abide in Christ and to be an overcomer means that his life is flowing into my life, displacing me, filling me, and enabling me to live for him moment by moment. Now, I know God is working in each one of us, but he desires to have a relationship with you. That's his desire. He doesn't want you just to know about him like a historical knowledge, you know. He wants you to know him. He wants you to walk with him. He wants you to know that he is in you and that you are in him. He wants you to have that fellowship. And so, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. You know, there's that verse in Peter, 1 Peter, that says that God has provided us everything that we need for life and godliness. Everything that we need to live a godly life has been provided for us. And so we need to learn to enter in and to yield ourselves. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, I want more of you. I want to please you. I want to abide in you. Oh, Jesus, you live in me. Yes, what a salvation this is. But Lord, there's more. Help me to understand. Open my eyes. Open my heart. Oh, I want to love you, Lord. Take away any love for the world. I just remember one other thing that impressed me as a younger person. And it was something that I heard. Again, Brother Kenny mentioned some of the talks that we have of Uncle Hans. And I was listening to one of his talks, and he said something like this. And it was in relation to this chapter, Love Not the World. He said this, it's your self-love. It's your self-love that keeps you united to the world. Just think about that a moment. It's your self-love that keeps you united to the world. And so I think that's a key. Do we love ourselves more than we love God? Delight thyself also in the Lord means to put Jesus first, to die to myself so that his life can be my life. Oh, Jesus, 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 we want more of you. Oh, Jesus. Lord, you see each one of us tonight. You know each of one of our hearts. You know where we are in our walk with you. But Lord, wherever we are, you call us to come closer. You call us to come nearer to you tonight, to enter in more fully into a life of abiding, a life of overcoming, a life of constant victory. And so, Lord, we want to open our hearts to you. And Lord, we begin by saying, search us, O God, and know my heart. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Is there anything, Lord Jesus, any love for this world, anything that keeps me from truly loving you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my mind? Is there something, Lord, that I need to repent of? Lord, search my heart. And then lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in your ways. Lead me in those ways of eternal life, of knowing you, knowing the Father, loving you. Oh, Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just quicken that love in our hearts, that flame. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, you do it. We thank you, Lord, for the victories that you give along the way. But set us in, my God, into a life of victory. More than conquerors through him who loved us. Oh, Jesus, I thank you. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Live out thy life within me, O Jesus, King of kings. Be thou thyself the